fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. South Africa's national men's football team, nicknamed Bafana Bafana, is among nine African teams participating in FIFA's inaugural international series. Bafana Bafana will use the two friendly matches to prepare for upcoming World Cup qualifiers and to try and carry over momentum from a bronze medal performance at the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. Joining us now from Durban, South Africa, with more details, is Myron Naika. Sporty greetings, Myron!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. South Africa's hearty run at AFCON 2023, which saw them finish in third place, reignited the passion of a proud football nation. For many here, it signaled the start of a new era for the team following two decades of underperformance on the continental stage. Their target now, as coach Hugo Bruce puts it, is to build on their progress thus far. Being part of FIFA's inaugural international series gives the team two friendly matches to use as preparation for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers. Bruce says their fixtures against the small European nation of Andorra and Algeria will provide them with contrasting styles.
Two different types of two different styles of opponents. One side you have Andorra, we can compare it with Namibia. So tough team, a team who will wait and try to be dangerous in transition. And at the other side, you have Algeria, ranked 5th in the CAF ranking. So that means that you have two different styles, and it's good for the team, certainly also to play against Andorra, but certainly to play against such a good team like Algeria.
Bruce speaks openly about the team's development plan as qualification for AFCON 2025 and the 2026 FIFA World Cup looms. With Bafana Bafana now ranked 10th on the continent, the Belgian tactician believes it's now vital for the team to build on their recent successes.
There are great opportunities for us to progress, to still progress, and to become one of the good teams in Africa. It will not be easy, because we are only 10th for the moment, but already 10th. So we have to try to keep those position and even progress in the ranking.
South Africa have not had many opportunities to play top-ranked teams away from home in recent years. Former national goalkeeper Wayne Sandiland says he's excited by the prospect of Bafana playing in the FIFA series.
I think it's quite refreshing, and it's important to actually go beyond the borders, test yourself against different kinds of opposition and opposition that are very competitive on that world stage. I think we need to be playing teams that are highly competitive, you know, in world football, because at the end of the day, that's what uplifts you.
Sandilands, who won the CAF Champions League with Mamelodi Sundowns back in 2016 and went on to play in the FIFA World Club Cup, understands the value of being tested against dynamic opposition.
When you get your focus or your lens shifted and focused by playing against these opponents and you're testing yourself against the best, because then you start to realize, okay, this is where we are and now this is how much we need to improve. But if you just keep playing the old familiar faces and people on your level, you're not going to really improve that much.
There are 10 new names in the squad from the group that competed at AFCON for the upcoming friendlies. It includes exciting youngsters Kaniso Mayo and Siyabonga Ngazana.
It's a great opportunity for those players to show what they can, because there is no pressure. It's friendly. If we lose, okay, it should not be good, because again, the ranking is there. But well, it's not a problem. It's friendly. So they have a fantastic situation to show their skills. We will not put pressure on them. Just play, guys, and show us.
While Bafana Bafana head into the upcoming friendlies, Bruce will no doubt have a keen eye on Nigeria, who play Ghana on Friday. The Super Eagles will host South Africa in a World Cup qualifier in early June. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Myron Nyker in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. From South Africa, let's go north to Malawi, which is hosting the national men's football teams from Zambia, Kenya, and Zimbabwe in a four-nation tournament scheduled for March 21st to March 26th. Joining us now from Blantyre, Malawi, with a report on preparations by the teams is Lamek Masina. Sporty greetings, Lamek!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. The format of the Four Nations Tournament will comprise semi-final matches where the victors of each match will advance to the finals while the defeated teams will compete in the third-place playoffs. The under-20 national football teams of all the participating nations of Zambia, Kenya, Zimbabwe and the hosts Malawi will kick off the games on March 21 at Bingu National Stadium in Malawi's capital, Lilongwe. However, the Battle of the Giants will start from March 23 with the game between Malawi national football team known as the Flames and the Harambee Stars of Kenya. This match will be followed by another match between Zambia's Chipolopolo Boys and the Warriors of Zimbabwe the same day. The final matches and third-place playoffs are expected to be held on March 26. Alfred Gundam is the Secretary General for the Football Association of Malawi. He says the tournament, the first in Malawi since 1988, presents an opportunity for Malawi to play more matches within a short time.
It has been difficult for us as countries in the past to just find a reasonable friendly to play during a FIFA window which is open because of financial constraints. So this particular one, it affords us an opportunity to play the matches against more than one team, which is a good test for the national teams as we prepare for the World Cup qualifiers that are coming in June.
Gunda says Malawi is more than ready for the showdown, but he was cautious to predict the outcome of the game.
There is no walkover, there is no tough team. All we look at is there is competition. Each one of the teams is coming in to compete. They would want to show that they are ready, and this is a platform where everybody is putting out their best. And I don't think there's any rating that can be done apart from the results that will be obtained during the matches as they have been played.
However, communications manager for the Football Association of Zambia, Sidney Mungala, assesses the strengths and the potential of the participating nations as well as the planned semi-finals game between his team, the Chipolopolo Boys, and the Warriors of Zimbabwe.
And obviously, any game between Zambia and Zimbabwe is always a fiercely contested game. So this is going to provide a very good competition for Zambia. There's a lot of pride in terms of representing our region. So we know that Zimbabwe are going to do their best to try and win this game. We are also hoping that we get the better of Zimbabwe so that we can play in the final.
As for Kenya, Mungala says the only motivation is that they will be hosting the Africa Cup of Nations in 2027. So they are obviously going to work extra hard for that big occasion for their nation. Ken Okaka is the media and communications manager at Football Kenya Federation. He says the way teams have prepared for the games makes it tough to foretell the outcome of the matches.
So for us, these three matches is good for preparations. It's an opportunity for growth, test our strategies, and to help us continue building cohesiveness and around the team. We cannot say there's a specific team that will pose a real challenge for Harambee Stars.
In a statement to the Sunny Side of Sports, Chief Executive Officer for the Zimbabwe Football Association, Yvonne Manua, says the tournament will present an opportunity for the Warriors players to showcase their abilities and stake their claim for selection into a team that will be featured during the World Cup qualifiers. Manua says the games will also provide a platform for the technical staff to evaluate players in a competitive setting amidst foreign conditions. Soccer analysts have described the soccer bonanza as yet another thrilling chapter in recent African football history, noting the extensive participation of foreign-based players across all competing teams. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamik Masina in Blantyre, Malawi.
VOA Africa has a wide variety of programs for you. News, lifestyle, health, politics, youth, women, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, television, and the internet on voaafrica.com.
Sporty greetings, this is Victor Osimhen, Super Eagles of Nigeria and Napoli FC forward. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of African news. For world news, go to voanews.com. The Association of the National Olympic Committees of Africa, or ANOCA, has given more than $800,000 to the local organizing committee of the 13th African Games and the 54 National Olympic Committees in Africa. For a breakdown on the financial assistance, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the Treasurer General of the Association of National Olympic Committees in Africa, Habu Gumel.
At the local organizing committee press briefing, I was opportune to be there on behalf of the president of ANOCA, Mr. Mustafa Garaf, to present a check of $200,000, which is a contribution to the LOC for the Ghana African Games, to support them so that they can be able to perform some of their activities, some of their obligations. And this is the thing that we normally do during African Games. ANOCA always support African Games, and we do always give some certain donation like the one we have done on behalf of ANOCA now. And it's not just the 200,000. We always supported our 54 National Olympic Committees in Africa with a donation amounting to $540,000. And then in all, if we total all our expenditure with the donation to the LOC and to the NOC and other expenditures, ANOCA has spent more than $800,000 to support the game of the African game here in Accra, Ghana. And that's what happened yesterday during the meeting. And I presented the check to the chairman of the local organizing committee, Dr. Kwaku. And before even the press conference in the morning, I was together with the Honorable Minister of Sports for Ghana to do another presentation regarding the $200,000 check, which both the Minister of Sports of Ghana and the chairman of the local organizing committee appreciated and thanked ANOCA for the good gesture. And that is the reason why I was there yesterday.
Okay. Are you also planning to help, ANOCA planning to help African countries at the Olympic Games too?
Well, already through the Olympic solidarity, IOC Olympic solidarity, there are many scholarships that are given to many athletes in the African countries. And Anoka too, they have their own system of giving scholarship. We have given scholarships to many athletes and they do well. Even the previously before Tokyo game, we gave scholarship to some African country by Anoka, and while in Tokyo, they were able to perform well. So both the IOC Olympic Solidarity and Anoka, they support a lot to the African athletes, and we are grateful to that.
As the president of the Nigeria Olympic Committee, what's your assessment of Team Nigeria at the ongoing 13th African Games in Ghana?
Being the president of the Nigerian Olympic Committee, you know I'm deeply involved with my team here, the Team Nigeria that are here in Ghana, and so far so good. As at now, we are on the second position on the medal table, and I'm sure more and more medals are coming in, more gold will come in, and at the end of it, so far so good. And I believe the Nigerian team is making good progress and we are performing. I let us wait and see towards the end of the game how many medals we are going to achieve, but I know it's going to be great. We are all here as Nigerians, Team Nigeria, with the Honorable Minister is here, Permanent Secretary, everybody, to make sure that we supported the team, to make sure that we make Nigeria proud.
What message do you have for Nigerian athletes and officials here as we count down to the end of the games?
Well, the message is for them to do their best, to perform very well, to get more and more gold medals, and also to be good ambassadors of Nigeria, to protect the image of our country, so that here we are good ambassadors. And not only in terms of behavior, even the athletes that are performing, to make sure that they are free of any drugs. They don't need to take any drug to perform. Naturally, they can be able to perform. We want in Nigeria clean medals. We don't want dirty medals. We always look for medals that are clean, that is free of any drugs. We don't need it. So this is the message that I'm sending to our team. And so far, so good, that we don't have any problem of such nature.
That's Habu Gumel, the Treasurer General of the Association of National Olympic Committees in Africa. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Accra, Ghana. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The sun is setting on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm retiring from the Voice of America. My last show is March 27th, and this VOA programming note, I have special guests lined up for my last three shows on March 25th, March 26th, and March 27th, so please tune in. Host Ghana won 41 medals in arm wrestling at the African Games. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori spoke with the head coach of Ghana's arm wrestling team, Ni Otu Larknye. Here's Kwabena.
Coach, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Yeah, before the games, I had an interview with you and you assured me of clearing more world medals. And then you've done it. After all, you clear more medals for your country and for your team. So how did you make it?
Okay. We made it through hard work, dedication, determination, and being focused from the one to the competition was over. Mm-hmm.
From your own mouth, how many medals did you achieve and which categories?
Okay, so we achieved 41 medals. We had 8 gold, 19 silver, and then 14 bronze, making a total of 41. We had 21 medals in the left event and then 20 medals in the right event. And the female category, we had 6 competing in the category. And then for the men category, we had 8. So we got more medals from the female category. And then the men also supported. So it's like they divided it. 2 men gave us gold, 2 ladies gave us gold. So 4 each. For each year, making it. So, you know, I'll say it's a good competition, yeah.
Cool. It's a historic achievement. You haven't done it before. How are you going to continue the future?
Okay, so After the competition, I saw this tournament to be the warm-up for Ghana arm wrestling and then arm wrestling in general. Because now we've had 41 medals. In 3 years to come, we are going to Egypt, meaning much will be expected from us. So as soon as possible, we are starting training. We are starting training as soon as possible because the journey won't be easy. And 3 years, by the time you realize, it's catching up to us. So I'm going to do a lot of new recruitment as well to beef up every category that we have. So you'll get there.
So you talk about recruitment. How are you? Are you going to just boost up the recruitment and then bring in some young guys and then forget about the old ones who can do something to it for you?
You can never do away with the old athletes completely. Never. You can't. Because you need their experience also. So whilst they are there training, we'll be recruiting. Last year we had a program, we call it Kids Arm Wrestling. We used that to groom a lot of athletes. I'm sure this year too, we'll continue with that. We go to schools, university, and we are hoping maybe we'll get more also from the security service to make a very tight competition. So that's how the recruitment is going to be. It's not going to only focus on one side. Every aspect, every age category, we need to have athletes there competing and ready for any action at any time.
From your own heart, from the bottom of your heart, what do you want to tell Ghanaians for this achievement?
Okay. I say one love to every Ghanaian and every arm wrestler in Ghana, in Africa, in the world. I thank them. I appreciate them. Every support, the government, individuals, corporate bodies, any support they've given to arm wrestling, I said I'm much grateful and then appreciate everything they've done for us. If not with them, there will be no, let me say, tournament. And much respect and much love to my president. That's Charles Osesibi. Much respect. He's a fighting father. And he always makes sure arm wrestling get to where it needs to be. And every other technical body and the board in general, I say thank you to them all. And God bless us.
That's Ni Otu-Larkne, the head coach of Ghana's arm wrestling team. And he spoke with Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori at the 13th African Games in Ghana.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
And your sporty destination is right here, the sunny side of sports. South Korea is hosting its first regular season Major League Baseball games this week as the professional U.S. League opens its season in Seoul. The games feature stars from both South Korea and Japan, often bitter rivals. But Koreans aren't letting their difficult history with Japan get in the way of cheering for Japanese players, as VOA's Bill Gallo reports.
These are the first ever Major League Baseball games in Korea. And this event is definitely Korean, with all the edge-of-your-seat energy that baseball fans here love. But there's also no question who is the biggest draw in Korea.
Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani.
Everyone likes Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani, the do-it-all Japanese megastar who draws massive crowds everywhere he goes. He's even popular in Korea, which has a painful colonial history with Japan. Seoul baseball fan Ah Soo Young says he's tall, he's handsome, and that other stuff, that's an old story. I don't think it means I shouldn't support a Japanese player. Koreans don't always love Japanese stars. Ichiro, another baseball legend, taunted and sometimes even insulted South Korea. Yuji Ho is a Seoul-based sports reporter.
But Ohtani has been the opposite of that. And I think the fans here appreciate that. And also, I think that a lot of the young baseball fans have been able to move past that sort of historic angle to Korea and Japan's sporting rivalry.
This week, it's positive vibes between Korea and Japan, which are coming together around an American game. U.S. Ambassador Philip Goldberg is attending opening day along with Korean and Japanese officials.
In this atmosphere of better relations between Korea and Japan, but also Korea, Japan, the United States, it brings even more luster to the whole event.
Ties between Korea and Japan have improved as both countries set aside the past and focus on shared challenges.
It just makes so much sense. It's in the interests of the three countries. There are going to be, you know, moments where we have to manage and go through different periods, but I think there's a logic to all of this that will keep it going.
But for how long? Anti-Japan sentiment often flares up in Korea over issues like Japan's use of forced labor during the colonial era. Even now, it's a factor. Reports suggest Japan's prime minister was planning to watch this week's baseball game with his South Korean counterpart, but didn't because it may have been too controversial ahead of next month's election in South Korea. Benjamin Engel is a professor at Seoul National University.
Even though the two governments have been able to kind of smooth things over, this historical issue hasn't been solved, I think. It's just not that easy to be like, this is our shared interest, let's act in that, and let's set aside all this baggage that hasn't been addressed fully.
But at least for now, Korean and Japanese fans can come together and enjoy what they love the most. Bill Gallo, BOA News, Seoul, South Korea.
Thanks, Bill. And I have fond memories of visiting Japan and South Korea during the 2002 FIFA World Cup football tournament. It was one of my first big trips for the Voice of America.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world.
Rain on me.
Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. And that wraps up the March 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.